Are you someone who likes to sing? Yes, some of you say, good. I don't particularly mean, are you someone who enjoys singing in church? I mean that when you're doing your stuff around the home, if you're doing a bit of gardening, or, I don't know, you're in the bath, do you sing? Are you sort of someone who has a tune on your lips? Some of us are, some aren't. Do you sing in the car? If you've got the radio on, do you sing along to it? Have you ever accidentally pocket-dialed a local funeral director and regaled them over the phone without realising it? That's not why I had to leave Nottingham, honestly, although it does make it a bit easier. We're thinking this morning about why singing is part of the Christian life. And particularly, we're thinking about why singing together, not just on our own, but singing with our sisters and brothers, and why that is so important. And this sermon is actually the first in a series looking at a number of different things that Christians have always and will always gather to do. So we're not thinking about some of the things that we can do on our own. We're not thinking about the private parts of our discipleship, if you like, but the things that we need to come together for. And my hope and prayer for this series is that we will have a fresh appreciation of the value or the importance of gathering physically Sunday by Sunday here in church and in our home groups during the week and at a fellowship evening and so on. And let me say, especially to those of you who are watching online today who haven't gathered with us physically, you are so welcome to join us online, and thank you so much for tuning in. And I know that some of you will have very important reasons why you're going to stay at home, you're going to stay watching things online and so on. And let me say, if that's you, if you're doing that for health reasons or whatever, please don't feel under any pressure to change that. Please don't let what I'm going to say today make you feel bad. That's not the aim of this at all. But this is a word to people who've just got out of the habit of coming to church, or who've just found it a bit easier to do it on our own, or to do it at a different time. Maybe watching church later in the afternoon means you can do something else on a Sunday morning or something like that. And if that's you, again, my hope is not that you'll feel browbeaten or bullied or whatever, but actually that you might have a sense afresh of why there is something quite special being in this building with these wonderful people Sunday by Sunday. But over the coming weeks, we'll be seeing a number of things that Christians are called to gather for. Next week, we'll be thinking about communion, why we share the Lord's Supper together. The week after that, we'll be thinking about serving, the fact that we are called to serve. And we'll also talk about praying. We'll talk about how we welcome new people. Part of why we gather is to welcome others into our midst. But this week, we're thinking about singing. And we're thinking about the question, why do we sing? And particularly, why do we need to sing together? Why do we sing, and why do we sing together? Well, at one level, there is a very straightforward answer to that question. Why do we sing? We sing because God tells us to sing. There are about 500 references in the Bible to singing, and of those, 50 are commands to sing. So a few examples, Psalm 47 verse 6, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. Or Psalm 100 that we heard read at the start of our service a few moments ago, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. And if you read through the Bible from the beginning, you'll see again and again that God's people are a singing people. Exodus chapter 15 is, I think, the first worship song in the Bible. It's a song that Moses led the people in, and they were expressing their gratitude to God for leading them across the Red Sea. And you see other such songs recorded through the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, you see David setting up a system whereby at any time of day or night throughout the year, there would be musicians singing God's praises before the Ark of the Covenant. People sometimes talk about 24/7 prayer, but actually what you've got there is 24/7 praise, 24/7 singing. In fact, one of the books of the Bible, the book of Psalms, is a whole book of songs. It's a hymn book. And they're not just poems, they're poems that were written to be sung. And if you read through them, you'll see that there are often little musical directions, what tune a particular psalm should be sung to, and so on. And it's not just there in the Old Testament. You see it as we go on into the New Testament. In Acts 16, for example, you see Paul and Silas in prison. And what are they doing in prison? They're singing God's praises. And it all leads up to the great eternal song of praise in heaven that Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 talk about. You see, God's people have always been and will always be singing people. So the first answer to the question, why do we sing, is that God tells us to, and God's people always have. And this then might be the first thing that we need to take away from this sermon today is a challenge to anyone who doesn't much like singing or perhaps who've just got used to not singing during the pandemic, during the time when we couldn't gather and sing together. The challenge that we've got here is that singing is an important part of what God has called his people to. God calls us to sing and so we sing. But why? Why does God tell us to sing? See, it's one thing to sing because God tells us to, but actually God so often gives us a reason for the commands that he gives. So what is his reason for having us sing? Well, there are, I think, two parts to that answer. And one part is for us, one part is for him, and one part is for us. So why does he call us to sing? Well, firstly, he calls us to sing for his glory. Probably the main time we read about singing in the Bible is in the context of expressing gratitude to God for something that he has done for us. So I mentioned Exodus 15 as the first worship song. It's a song of thanks to God for delivering his people through the Red Sea. It's a song praising him for his deliverance of his people. And actually, if you go on throughout the whole Bible, you will find that the vast majority of the songs that you come across have the same idea. They are a grateful response to something that God has done for his people. Or they are a grateful response to something about who God is. They are thanking God for aspects of his character. So we sing as a way of expressing our thanks to God. But why sing? Well, aren't there other ways that we could express thanks? There are plenty of people that I thank for various things, and I generally do so without a song. I do occasionally write a thank you letter for my birthday presents or my Christmas presents or something like that. Maybe that I want to give someone some flowers or some chocolates as a particular thanks for something they've done. But generally, I just say thank you. After the service today, I might want to thank Paul. Where is Paul? Behind me, hiding in the corner. I might want to thank him for playing the organ. And what I will probably do is just go up to him and say, thank you, Paul. What I probably won't do is say, thank you, Paul, for playing the organ. You played beautifully. Thank you so much. You played with such sensitivity. He's squirming. Only I can see him. He's really squirming. We normally don't do that, do we? You would probably agree it would be a little bit over the top, a little bit weird. I'm not trying to set a new trend in how we relate to one another within the church family. But why? Why would it feel a bit much? Why did Paul squirm as I sang? Well, it does feel a bit over the top. It feels a bit too much, doesn't it? And perhaps it feels a bit intense, a bit too intimate, perhaps. You see, that's part of what music does, isn't it? It enables us to express things in a more intense, more heartfelt, sometimes a more intimate way. It enables us to rehearse and repeat phrases or ideas. It enables us to express them differently. And actually, did you see how Psalm 100 that we had read earlier does that? It says the same things, but rewords them each time so as to express them with deeper richness. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And it goes on. When we sing, we have an opportunity to celebrate God and to celebrate what he's done and to do so in a way that we couldn't just with prose. I mean, we could write a piece of prose that explains some of the ideas, some of the doctrines, if you like, but somehow that would just be a bit flat. There are times when we need poetry to express it, and actually there are times when poetry doesn't go far enough. It's far better when we can sing. Reciting a poem together can sometimes kill it. We probably have painful memories of doing that at school, reading out a poem as a class, and it not flowing at all. But actually when we sing together, things can go to a whole new level. And just think for a moment about what we have to thank God for. I mean, not only are there all the things that we enjoy in our lives day to day, not only is there the picnic after this service, not only is there our homes, our food, our health, and so on, but actually, as Christians, we know that we have a God who loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. He was willing to go to the extreme length of hanging on the cross to make it possible for our sin to be forgiven, for the mess that we've made in our lives to be cleaned up. He gave his life so that we can have the fullness of life now and we can look forward to eternal life with him in paradise. What we have to thank him for is that even though we've ignored him, and even though we've rebelled against him, he is willing, at huge personal cost, to buy our forgiveness and freedom. And if that isn't worth singing about, I don't know what is. That is a gratitude that is something that demands a level of gratitude beyond just a quick thanks for that. It is entirely appropriate that we sing. So, to sum up what I'm saying thus far, is God tells us to sing because singing enables us to express together our gratitude and our love for him in a more heartfelt way than we could otherwise. Let me read something that John Piper has said about this. He said, "The reason we sing is because there are depths and heights and intensities and kinds of emotions that will not be satisfactorily expressed by more prosaic forms or even poetic readings. There are realities that demand to break out of prose into poetry, and some demand that poetry be stretched into song." And I wonder if that might change the way we might think about some of the songs that we sing. The question is not about whether we like the songs that are chosen here, but it's about whether they appropriately express something that we want to say to God. These songs are firstly for him, not for us. So our question is not about whether we like them, but about whether he might. Anyway, I've said that there are two reasons why God calls us to sing. The first is for him, for his glory. Singing enables us to express our gratitude and love in a deeper way than we could otherwise. But the second reason that he calls us to sing is actually for ourselves. It is for our growth in faith. He gave us singing to deepen our relationship with him. I'm going to read a few verses from Colossians chapter 3. You don't have to turn to it. I'll pop it up on the screen. But I think these verses will show a purpose of singing that we might not naturally think about. So Colossians 3, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, the instruction in those verses, the command, if you like, that Paul gives, is at the start of verse 16, where he says, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. So what Paul's telling us to do is let God's word dwell among us. That's what he's instructing us to do. He's saying we need to let God's word take root deeply within us, for it to not just stay in our heads, although that's where it might start, but to let it go much deeper within us. But do you see how that verse doesn't just tell us that that's what we should do, it also tells us how to do it. It tells us how to let God's word dwell in us richly. And as we look at it, there are two things that we can do to have the word of Christ dwell in us. The first is through teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So that highlights the importance of sermons. It highlights the importance of Bible studies in home groups. It highlights the importance of us spending time reading God's word by ourselves day by day. So we let God's word dwell in us by us spending time thinking about it, reading it, and so on. But the other way that Paul says we can let the word of Christ dwell in us is by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing as part of how we teach and encourage each other. Obviously, we can only encourage each other by our singing if we sing with each other. You won't be encouraged by me singing in the bath. It just doesn't work like that. We have to sing together if we're to have that effect on one another. Now, how does it work? How does our singing help us to have the word of God dwell within us richly? Well, actually, it happens in two ways. It helps us to remember his word. Singing helps us to remember. There's a really helpful example of this in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Again, you don't need to turn to it. But the context was that the people were about to settle in the promised land. God had led them through the wilderness and led them into the promised land. They were about to settle, and God knew that they would forget him. God knew that when life got comfortable, everything was easy, that somehow he would drift out of their minds. So what does he do? He gets Moses to teach them a song. So Deuteronomy 31, from verse 19, God says, now write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it. And why? Why must they sing it? Well, verse 21, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. Because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. Singing helps us remember. Let's do a little test. Can any of you quote from any of Wesley's sermons? Do any of you have Wesley's sermons committed to memory? Ian might. Do you? No? No? There you go. What about his songs? Can any of you quote Wesley's songs? If I start with Hark the Herald, what are you going to say? Yeah, you know that. If I go, Jesus Christ is risen today. Yeah, thank you, Jamie. Yeah, they're very, very well done. For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Somehow singing gets into our memory in a way that other things just don't. So actually, as we sing Scripture, we're able to remember Scripture in a way that we might not otherwise. Singing helps the word of God dwell richly in our hearts because it helps us to remember the great truths expressed in his word. So we sing to remember, but we also sing to digest God's words. Do you remember a few weeks ago in the series that we were doing on John chapter 15, I was talking about meditating on God's word. I was talking about how it's not enough to just study it, but actually we need to read it in such a way that it gets from our head to our heart. And there were two images that I used. One was the wine taster, who doesn't just take in the wine, but who holds it in his mouth, turning it around, savouring every bit of it. And the other image I used was of a cow chewing the cud, a cow that brings up what it's already taken in and has another go to kind of get more out of it. And that's kind of what I was saying we need to learn to do with God's word. We need not just to hear it, but actually to savour it, to swirl it around, as it, though it were, to come back to it again and again. And song is a great way of doing that. You see, singing, similarly to why song is such a good way of expressing thanks to God, what singing does is it enables us to repeat ideas, to rephrase them, to ponder them afresh, to pause and let them go in a little bit more. So we sing truths about God so that we can digest them and take them in a little bit more. And this says something really important, doesn't it, about the songs that we choose. If a song is to help God's word dwell in us, then our songs need to be biblical. They need to be songs with lyrics that are taken from Scripture, or at the very least, they need to contain ideas that are so clearly there in Scripture. We need to choose our songs carefully. And as we sing them, we need to think about what we're singing. We need to not just go on autopilot thinking what a lovely tune this is, but actually we need to sing it to enable God's word to dwell within us. Now look, I've spoken for long enough and I need to draw this to a close. But what do we do with all of this? Well, I guess my first word would be to someone who might be visiting us today and wouldn't necessarily call yourself a Christian. If that's you, you are very, very welcome. Or someone who's tuning in online and watching the service online. We're thrilled that you've joined us. And if you want to find out something about what we believe and why we think the good news of Jesus is the best news anyone could ever hear, then actually don't just listen to what I say from this lectern, but listen to what we sing together. Listen to the truths that we express as we want to pour out to God our thanks for his love and his work in us. But what does it mean for those of us who are Christians? Well, it doesn't just mean just listen to other people sing. It means sing. Okay? And it means gather to sing. We gather to sing so that our singing can encourage one another, so that our singing can help the word of God dwell richly in amongst one another. We sing as part of how we teach each other, part of how we encourage each other. So our challenge is to gather to sing and to sing intentionally, not on autopilot, but looking to express gratitude to God and letting his word dwell in us richly. So let's sing. But before we sing, let me pray. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great work in our lives. Thank you for the deep and wonderful things you've done. Thank you for going to the cross, or sending Jesus to go to the cross in our place. And thank you that you have given us song as a way of expressing our thanks and gratitude for that. Please help us to be people who do that. Help us, Lord, to sing for your glory, to express together our heartfelt gratitude to you. But also help us to sing for our growth. Help us to sing to remember your word. Help us to sing to digest your word. And to do that not on our own, but together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.